Friends, we are discussing the continuous the chapters in your academic book, Trade Finance. Now we have reached to the another chapter, that is chapter 4. And this chapter pertains to the export credit, particularly the pre-shipment finance. As I have explained to you, there are two types of export credit. One is availed by the exporter or granted to the exporters much before the export takes place, which is called as a pre-shipment finance. And another one is the finance which is made available after the shipment of the goods is done by the exporters. So, the objective of this particular chapter, that is export credit pre-shipment finance, is to understand the concept and significance of the pre-shipment finance. Okay. Then there are various types of packing credits. Packing credit which is granted in Indian rupees, packing credit which is granted in foreign currency, etc. That also we have to understand the need of giving such type of pre-shipment export credit. Then along with that, not to each and every exporters, but certain eligible exporters, and that eligibility criteria is to be determined or discussed in this chapter also. Then process flow and the documentation required for granting the pre-shipment finance in different currency, maybe Indian rupee or in foreign currency, as well as various regulations pertains to the pre-shipment and post-shipment finance, particularly pre-shipment finance, that regulation made by the Reserve Bank of India, regulations under Foreign Exchange Management Act, as well as the ECGC, that is Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of India, and finally to understand the interest rate, certain concessions given on the interest rate also, as well as tenor of the pre-shipment finance, its repayment schedule, and there are several risks arising during the life cycle of the pre-shipment finance. Those risks we will measure and also understand how these risks will be mitigated, and measures related to that risk mitigation for the pre-shipment credit will also be discussed. This is our objective to discuss this topic, and our structure of presentation will consist of, first, we have to understand basic understanding of the pre-shipment finance, then various types of pre-shipment finance, eligibility criteria, interest rate, tenure and repayment term, as well as the role of Reserve Bank of India and Foreign Exchange Management Act, role of ECGC also, because it is supporting the pre-shipment finance, and then documentation in compliance with the requirement in the pre-shipment finance, and then interest equalization scheme. This is something new and it is giving benefit to the exporters at pre-shipment stage. What is this interest equalization scheme? That also we will discuss a little bit in elaboration. And the common risk and mitigation measures for pre-shipment finance, this is our structure. And to start continuing with our discussion, I wanted to tell you what is the what is the pre-shipment finance. Pre-shipment finance is nothing but it is a short-term finance. And this is basically granted as a working capital finance by the banks and the financial institution to exporters who intend to export, manufacture the goods and intend to export the goods. So, there is a requirement of the funds for procurement of the goods, for manufacturing of the goods, for packaging of the goods, and then to export. So, these prior stages require a lot of finance. So, this finance is made available by granting such type of loan. So, this is the catalyst. Pre-shipment finance is a catalyst to boost the India's export by supporting SMEs, that is small, medium and large businesses, which are engaged in global trade. The government of India has also encouraging the exporters through the Reserve Bank of India, Exim Bank, ECGC, etc. And they devised the policy for granting the pre-shipment finance. We will understand the various institutional support also, like ECGC, RBI and all. Okay, institutional support also we will see. However, our aim is to equip you with the comprehensive understanding how the pre-shipment credit functions and pipeline and international trade operations, right? Now, as I said, understanding little bit more deep in pre-shipment finance, let us understand first the features of the pre-shipment finance. What are the particular typical features of this finance? This is, first thing is pre-shipment finance. In normal terms, it is called as a PC. PC or packing credit. Okay. Then this instrument is used against the order or letter of credit. So these two documents are very important so as to grant the pre-shipment finance. So export order is required to be fulfilled. How it is to be fulfilled, that is a different story. But to make the good for the export is essential things much before the export takes place, and exporter has to prepare for that. Now, the facility which is granted as a pre-shipment finance is, as I said, it is a short-term working capital finance facility. And this facility is granted generally from 30 days to 180 to 270 days to meet the working capital requirement of the exporter. Now, another feature of the pre-shipment credit is the purpose-specific lending. Purpose. Now, what is the purpose? Purpose of granting the pre-shipment finance is for purchase of the raw material, then processing of that raw material, then manufacturing from the raw material finished product. And once finished product is ready, then its packaging is required to be made as per the international standard, because it is required for export purpose. And then finally, it is to be transported to keep in the warehousing, and these other related expenses for the manufacturing or packaging till the stage of export, that is covered under reserve. So any of the purpose, if exporter states, the bank can grant the pre-shipment finance. Second aspect or feature is security and a collateral. Whenever any bank grants the pre-shipment finance, they expect some kind of security. So security by means of, maybe by way of hypothecation of the goods which are prepared as per the export orders, or they may ask for the letter of credit also to lodge with them, or ECGC guarantee also they will ask them to procure it. And these are the securities and the collaterals that banks are obtaining, and the financing also be backed by the personal or corporate guarantee also can be given as a security. Next one is a disbursement in Indian rupee or in a foreign currency. This is a feature. In both way, it is permitted to grant the loan in either in Indian rupees or in foreign currency. Now further, the concessional rate of interest is also, Reserve Bank says that packing credit is classified under the priority sector lending, that is PSL, priority sector lending. So priority is given for financing. So that this packing credit also eligible for concessional interest rate, which is subject to compliance with the certain conditions as laid down by the Reserve Bank of India. Then link to the shipment and realization. Packing credit you are granting, that is fine. Goods are ready. Now, what is the period? Period, we have stated that 180 to 270 days is the maximum period up to which bank can grant the packing credit. But at the same time, your export shipment date also should be near to matching with the period of or last date of packing credit granted. So that what will happen, the funds which are granted 6 months back or 180 days back for preparation of these goods can be liquidated by the bank by purchasing the export document. Once the export is over, immediately those document needs to be submitted to the bank, and those document will be getting discounted or purchased by the bank, and the proceeds of that will be utilized for liquidation of outstanding packing credit liability. Okay, right. Now, availability of the broad-based exporters. Another feature, this feature is available. Under this feature, pre-shipment finance can be granted to any of the exporter, which are the manufacturer exporters, merchant exporter, or export house. Star trading houses also, and even by the service exports are also eligible to avail the packing credit. Then compliance and the documentation requirement. Simple documentations are proposed. Compliance as per the Reserve Bank of India guidelines. Then exporter, and with that view, what is the prime document is the export order or letter of credit. Export order or letter of credit, that is the principal document which determines that yes, there is an export order and which exporter has to fulfill, and for that he is requesting for the funds. While doing so, once you are confirmed with the export order or having the letter of credit held by the exporter, then you can look into the KYC documentation of the exporter and the declaration under FEMA for utilization of the funds, and the RBI's master direction also give the guidelines how the compliance and the documentation can be complied with. Now, having understood the features of this pre-shipment credit, now let us understand the simple objective of the pre-shipment finance. The primary objective is to extend the finance prior to shipment of the goods, that is pre-shipment finance, to the exporters, which includes objective. First objective is to enable the production of the export. Enable the production for exports. So, the foremost goal is to ensure that exporter have an adequate working capital to procure the raw material, process the manufacture, pack the goods as per the export order specification. Another is to bridge the working capital gap. There is always gap in finance and the finance requirement. So, this type of situation when exporter faces, packing credit comes into the rescue, and this will be granted to bridge the gap between the exporter's requirement of the funds and the requirement of funds, and finally the export date of making the exports. Then enhance the export competitiveness. Timely making available funds is very, very important, so that in competitive world the exporter can manufacture its goods and as on a particular delivery date in the given timeline at the determined price, he can export his group. Now, another objective is to encourage the participants in global trade. Having made the facility available to the small and medium enterprises and also to the first-time exporters, this will definitely promote the cross-border participation in international trade by the exporters also because of the timely completion of the order and made their display their goods in international trade. Now, another objective is to ensure timely fulfillment of the export commitment. For any order, commitment date given is very important. Commitment for completion of the pre-shipment requirement and immediately after that shipment of the goods on the given date of shipment. Maybe it is written in the export order or it may be written as a last date of shipment in letter of credit. So these deadlines needs to be adhered to. Packing credit, while granting the packing credit, these things also will be taken into consideration for extending the tenure for the packing credit. Now, support national export promotion policy. The funds which are given to the exporters will definitely be used for the manufacturing export of the goods. So naturally, it will increase the export of the country and this will support the national export promotion policy also. Another objective is to facilitate the risk mitigation through the institutional support. Now, institutional support is nothing but exporters will have the support of allied activities like ECGC policy and ECGC guarantees. Then by doing so or by offering policies to the exporters and guarantees to the banks, this will definitely reduce the credit risk associated with the international buyer and market uncertainties. Okay, these are some of the objectives of granting the packing credit. Now, the types, what are the types of the packing credits and which type of facilities that bank can grant to the exporters, that we will see. As I said initially, packing credit is generally granted in two ways. One is the packing credit in Indian rupees and packing credit in foreign currencies. So these are the two major types. There is a facility also is provided in both as a running account facility also for the packing credit. So this packing credit in Indian rupees is the most common form of granting the pre-shipment finance in India and it is provided in Indian rupee currencies. This facility is used to finance the domestic procurement of the raw material, purchase of the raw material, manufacturing it and the packing for the export orders. Rate of interest is determined as a concessional rate of interest as determined by the Reserve Bank of India under its priority sector lending norms. And the security usually is secured export order or letter of credit with hypothecation of the goods. Goods which are manufactured are getting hypothecated to the bank as a security. Okay. Now, packing credit which is granted in foreign currency is called as PCFC, packing credit in foreign currency, that is PCFC. This PCFC in foreign currency is denominated as a pre-shipment loan designed to allow the exporters to finance the input internationally competitive interest rate. Because for foreign currency, there is a less or reduced rate of interest is available. These currencies are available at, if it is borrowed or it is granted to the exporter, as per the terms of the RBI and international market, the rate of interest for these currencies, lending in these currencies will be much cheaper than the Indian rupee. So, currencies which are used for granting the pre-shipment credit in foreign currency is USD, that is United States dollar, euro, Great Britain pound or Japanese yen, etc. So these are the basically major currencies in which the banks are granting the packing credit or pre-shipment finance. Objective of granting the packing credit in pre-shipment finance consists to help at the rate of reduce the rate of interest, and by doing so, the cost will be reduced. Then coming down to understand the repayment. Repayment is always, I said, depending upon the date of export. Now, so repayment liquidated through the proceeds of the export bill, and the date is determined based on the date of shipment. So date of ship, beyond date of shipment, you cannot grant the pre-shipment finance, because after the shipment is made, documents will be prepared by the exporter and given to the bank, which can be discounted, and immediately the outstanding pre-shipment liability will be liquidated. So there is no fun in giving the longer period, that longer than the date of shipment, final date of shipment, banks generally not allowing it. So always the repayment period is coinciding with the date of last date of shipment. Okay, and even less than that also it is possible. The Government of India and through the Reserve Bank of India issued the directive for the banks for granting the pre-shipment finance, giving all terms and conditions for granting. Now, packing credit against the back-to-back letter of credit. Now, what is the back-to-back letter of credit we have seen? Back-to-back letter of credit is this, the letter of credit which cannot be transferred. Which cannot be transferred. By taking that letter of credit, another letter of credit, by taking that letter of credit as a security, other LCs, another LC is issued for the domestic procurement of the goods. Suppose you have an export LC and you have an export order in hand, right? Now, but you don't have the funds. So while availing those funds, while availing under pre-shipment finance, the supplier of those goods domestically, that he may not be giving as it is the goods to you. So under the circumstances, the exporter says, okay, I am holding one LC, that is export LC or export order. Okay, you take that as a security. And against that, you issue me another letter of credit favoring my domestic supplier. So under that LC, I will procure the goods and then start manufacturing the goods or start manufacturing the goods or procurement of the other raw material also. So packing credit is against back-to-back letter of credit also permitted to grant it. And the mechanism is simple. One LC as a security, that is export LC, and our original export order also, right? Then that is back-to-back, under back-to-back LC means LC is a must. One LC should be there, that is export LC, that is a major one, that is lodged with the bank. Against that, another LC is opened, that is domestic LC, for the procurement of domestic raw material. Okay, and purpose is very simple for issuance of this back-to-back letter of credit is, that is procurement of inputs for domestic manufacturer. Now, packing credit against the red clause letter of credit. Now, we have seen the types of letters of credit, right? In that, there is one type of letter of credit is a red clause letter of credit. In red clause letter of credit, what is, you know, the red clause contains the clause. This red clause is not actually in red ink. Earlier, when the physical LCs were issued, nowadays it is all swift LCs are receiving, so there is no color to identify whether it is red, green, blue or whatever it may be. But in those days, when there was physical LCs, this particular clause was written in red ink. That is why it is nomenclature is red clause LC. What the clause contained, that it gives an authority to the exporter's bank to give some advance to the exporter so that with that fund he will procure the goods from the domestic market and start utilizing those funds for procuring the goods. Ultimately, this export, as and when the document will be submitted, this will be liquidated as per the normal packing credits. So this is also one of the facility. So nowadays what happens in LC, this, even though it is not written in RAID, but there is a clause which permits the bank, exporter's bank, to grant an advance to the exporter much before shipment of the goods, which we call it as a packing credit, okay? And use those funds and finally settle those funds when export is made, and you, while discounting or negotiating of those documents, you can very well adjust that outstanding, okay? So this is what the RAID clause letter of credit, advance against RAID clause letter of credit, LC, okay? Primarily, this is used in international market to help the exporters to finance production. Now, advance nature. The facility is partially financing before shipment based on the buyer's instruction. Only buyer's instruction, this loan can be granted. Then, as I said some time back, that there is also a running account facility is provided to the packing credit. So those who are frequently using the pre-shipment finance, and they sometimes it so happens that there is an order verbally, it is confirmed, but there is a time lag for receipt of the export order or receipt of export LC. Under the circumstances, those who are availing the running account facility, one after another, they will go on based on the orders. Because they are the big, large exporters. They have multiple orders. But each order, maintenance of separate account is very, very difficult. So under the circumstances, banks permitted to grant a running account facility and also permitted the exporters. Based on the declaration, they can give or they can grant the pre-shipment credit. Only thing is that, within the stipulated period, say 30 days to 45 days, depending upon the internal policy of respective banks, they will say within that 30 to 45 days maximum period, they have to lodge either export order or letter of credit so as to comply with the guidelines issued by the Reserve Bank of India. Yes, this is the genuine export for which they have granted the running account facility at concessional rate of interest or reduced rate of interest. Okay, this is all about the packing credit without lodgement of export order or LC for which running account facility is granted. Now, service exporters. Now, you say that service also can be considered as an export. So, export of services. There is an invisible, there are no goods involved anywhere in any point of time. So under the circumstances, does it mean that those providing the services, that these who are exporting the services, they don't require finance? No. They require the finance. And these finance may be for making the salary of the people or for making some other expenses related to the office, for providing the services to the overseas client, and for that they will raise the invoice, etc. Okay, so this may be like a software. Software is invisible, you cannot see it, so it cannot be lodged or it cannot be hypothecated. Then consultancy given, or healthcare services online, which is provided to the overseas parties. So it does not involve any goods. So under these circumstances, the operational expenses to the qualified people. They have to engage the qualified people, no? The company who provide these services, they have to engage the qualified people for that. So, make them their salary or their services under the international contract. There is a requirement of the funds. However, one of the conditions is that such a company which is providing the services abroad, that is exporting their services, should also hold IEC, that is import-export code, that is very much required for the service export also. And against the invoices raised on the overseas service buyers, that can be taken as what you call as a authority, or any agreement which is entered between the overseas service taker and Indian service provider. This kind of agreement will be taken as a collateral, and all the funds which will be realized from abroad should be routed through that particular bank. So these are nothing but it is operational expenses which are spent or operational expenses incurred by the exporter for rendering such type of services. Now, suppliers credit for the domestic procurement under advance authorization. Now, what is this advance authorization? Advance authorization means some concession in taxes. Many times it so happens that the goods meant for export purpose, but it requires the input from the domestic suppliers. So, under the advance authorization, so while granting the packing credit, such a domestic procurement is done, then the advance authorization which is given is also eligible for the concessional rate of interest. Now, inputs which are used for the export manufacturing is exempted from the duties under advance authorization. This is subject to DGFT and FEMA guidelines. Okay? You can grant. Advance authorization is permitted. Exemption from the duty, when you are exporting the goods and using the domestic material, then the duty for those used components will not be levied by the customs. That is why DGFT, that is Director General of Foreign Trade, and as per the FEMA guidelines, this supplier's credit for domestic procurement under advance authorization is given. Next type is the export credit to sub-suppliers. Sub-suppliers, there are many suppliers of the goods. One is the supplying goods to the exporter. That means he is a sub-supplier to the exporter, to many exporters. And at the time of pre-shipment also, if such a goods are supplied, then in that case, this pre-shipment credit can be granted. The main export, it is a responsibility of the principal exporter to provide an undertaking to liquidate the advance from the export process. What is happening in these sub-suppliers, you know? Rather than getting the packing credit, many exporters does like that. They procure the goods and they say, okay, this is for export purpose, no? So as soon as it is received, export goods are payment is received, we will compensate with the cost of the whatever local supplies made by you. So they are not directly, the local suppliers, that not directly suppliers, but they support the exporter to export the goods. That is why they are very important. And such a type of goods which are supplied to the exporter can also be considered for the export, for the pre-shipment finance. So there is move to encourage or support micro, small and medium entrepreneurs and small manufacturer in the export supply chain to grant the packing credit to them also. Now, types and how we grant the packing credit, we understood. Let us understand the eligibility criteria. Who can avail the packing credit? Who can avail the project? One exporter should be registered one. That means he must be holding IEC code, import export code granted by the DGFT. This code is available by online application and some minimum amount of fees paid to online to the DGFT. The number will be generated and that number is called as import export code. If any exporter or importer doesn't have this IEC code, they are not entitled to export the goods or import the goods from abroad. So, the registered with the relevant export promotion council also is important. So, it may be bodies, commodity bodies like coffee board, tea board or cotton board. Like that, there are many boards. For them, for these exporters, they have to register these exporters with these boards also. So first is DGFT, obtain the IEC number from the DGFT. Second one, you have to register with the relevant export promotion council or commodity board where it is applicable. And third one is a valid export order or letter of credit. Either of these two or both will be good and signed. Submission of the confirmed export order or irrevocable letter of credit, which is issued by the foreign buyer, needs to be available with the exporter who is looking for availing the packing credit. Now, credit worthiness and the track record. Eligibility criteria further state that the credit worthiness of customer or credit worthiness of exporter must be ascertained and its track record also need to be seen, and any past event or any default occurred that also need to be taken on the record. Then compliance with the FEMA and the Reserve Bank of India norms. Exporter must comply with the FEMA as well as the DGFT regulations, and there should not be any adverse comment or advance happening to this exporter so as to become eligible for availing the pre-shipment finance. End use of the funds. Now, end use of the funds, definitely it is required to be monitored. End use of the funds, it should be monitored, because whether if you can use these funds, you avail the concessional finance from the bank under the packing credit, and by stating that I will be using this fund for the procurement of the goods or processing of the goods or making salaries to the people like that, you know, who are engaged in my company. But the diversion of the funds, availing the funds from there and diverting the funds to some other things, for example, in money market or maybe in the stock market, that is not permitted. So end use monitoring is very, very important. Then second one is the ECGC or collateral cover wherever it is required. If country to which the exporter is exporting the goods is having certain problems, then ECGC policy may be suggested by the bank to the exporter, so that they will approach to the ECGC, giving the details of their export order and the letter of credit, and ask the ECGC to issue a policy in their favor, and that will be taken as a collateral cover by the banks while granting the loan under pre-shipment finance.